Good morning and welcome to the Monday, December 3rd edition of Byers & Company. Our next gift of the day coming up this hour, plus Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and we'll check in with Jerry Stocks on this sheriff's race. Seems to feel like it's going to go on for a while. Details coming next.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't get into Thursday, right? That's where it shows the snow. I don't know what kind of snow we're expecting. I wasn't expecting this morning. It was supposed to be dry, right?
Yeah, I walked out the door and went, oh, great, it's snowing.
Yeah, well, it was rain by the time I was about halfway here, and it looks like rain now, but, man, I am tired of it. All right, good morning and welcome. Jerry Stocks joins us to get to the bottom of this. I love when you send me pages and pages of legalese. Nothing better on a Sunday night for good reading.
I know you need the entertainment.
All right, break down the legalese. Put this into plain English for all of us. What happened on Friday, and what are you asking of the Macon County Clerk?
All right, the results on Friday, it was just a discovery, an opportunity to examine what was there. And in the process of the examination, though, Steve Bean, to his credit, had alerted us that there were two ballots not voted in Hickory Point 1. But part of that discovery process, he could not open those ballots until we had made that discovery request and that process commenced. And we learned that they were two root votes. Prior to that, we would not have known whose votes those were.
Okay, now back up again because I said plain English. What are we talking about here? You said open up, found two votes. I mean, walk me through the scenario exactly as to what happened.
What happened on Election Day is that two ballots probably, and this is part of the problem, probably because they did not feed through the machine or scan properly, were segregated in the precinct by the election judges, sealed, noted, need to count these, and sent back to the central election headquarters, the clerk's office, and they would have anticipated that those votes would have been counted. However, they did not get counted on election night. They remained sealed and set aside. And on Election Day, Steve tried to determine what is the reason these two ballots were back here, tried to find judges to get an explanation. And it's a crazy, crazy time when those returns are coming in, and was unable to close the loop on it, figure out what was going on. So they were set aside in the vault, sealed. Then come the formal canvas or tally, which happened on November 20, when the certifications and proclamation occurs. Steve had forgotten, as he reported to us on Friday, and as he had indicated to me previously, had forgotten all about these. And they were not included, and there was no resolution as to should they not be counted or what their status was. And then on Wednesday, following the canvass on the 21st of November, in preparation for identifying precincts to request our discovery examination, asking Steve a series of questions, trying to figure out where can we capture undervote, where will this exist, where will that exist, we had a discussion. And then come Friday morning, Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, Steve calls me and says, hey, I've just remembered something. There's two ballots that are segregated, locked, and he really didn't know what their status was. So then on the examination, we were able to vet that in the presence of representatives of both parties. Steve conveyed, as he said in the paper on Friday, similar to what he had told me when we met on the Friday after Thanksgiving, and what he said at the discovery, the situation. Now, that standing alone is problematic enough, but when you look at the voter applications, and that's when each voter goes in and they sign the document that, I'm here to vote, applying for their ballot, and this is in precinct on Election Day, is that we had the voter applications examined, counted, and found discrepancies there. Like, for example, in the enumeration, they go from like 225 to 236, just skip 10 numbers. And they also had Hickory Point 12, a sister precinct in the same location, in the wrong voter application book. So to reconcile the total votes cast to the total number of voters applying in Hickory Point 1, the numbers didn't reconcile. There was a discrepancy. The statute that we cite, my initial paper, I had...
All right, hang on a second. Before we get to what you're asking, so I'm going to walk you back through this and make sure that we're crystal clear here. Because here's, you know, when Root went from, you know, a 99-vote win on election night to a one-vote loss and a proclamation from the clerk's office that Tony Brown was the new sheriff, people were screaming about, you know, this is rigged. And now you've got a Republican Maine County clerk taking office today. You guys are going back to him. I want to be crystal clear that in your opinion, was anything done intentionally or was this all just an oversight accidental? He didn't know who those two votes were for, right? They were sealed.
Correct. I want to underscore this without any issue. Steve Bean has been nothing but just an absolute great example of integrity. There was a mistake made, and the mistake originated in the precinct. And I understand the scenario where Steve, just the craziness of election night and everything else that takes place with a crazy race and all the attention after election night and focus on where are the mail-in ballots, where is this, the intensity of all the activity was unlike anything he had probably encountered in quite a while. And this is his last couple weeks of a career, a distinguished career in that office. So anybody suggesting that there is anything nefarious about our election authority, about our county clerk, simply has no valid basis.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we get that clear, because you know, as this next turn and what you guys are now asking for, you know, people have been, you know, and I think it's the national stuff and people watch the elections and see what's going on with these recounts and people are suspicious. I just know Steve to be, as you said, a guy of high integrity. So these two votes were set aside, couldn't figure out why they were sent separately. They were sealed, so no one knew whether they were Tony Brown votes or Jim Root votes. I mean, they were sealed. No one knew, including Steve Bean. You guys discover them, open them, they're Root votes. So now what are you asking for?
Okay, because the election code requires that any obvious discrepancy between the voter applications, that is the number of people applying to vote, and the number of votes cast must be reconciled. By our discovery examination and of those items, we find that if you include the two votes, they had a note on them that says to be counted, a sticky, by the way. But anyway, if you include those, then by our examination, you can reconcile the obvious discrepancy. The statute uses the word, it's the clerk must reconcile the obvious discrepancy. And it says that they must do it even either before proclamation or after proclamation, which means that we interpret that to mean the clerk still has the duty to do so. Now, is that a self-enforcing a modification of the proclamation if they do so? That's an unresolved question, but in terms of, we believe that it's a mandatory duty under the election code that the clerk reconcile that discrepancy, or the election authority, and once that is done, it would flip the result if you assume the balance of the certified results remain constant. Now, the other thing we learned in the examination is that in certain precincts, we have three different election results: the original machine tabulation, the hand retabulation, and the second machine retabulation, and we can have three different sets of results. And the reason that happens is that, and there's nothing nefarious or cheating here, this all is owing to the limitations of these optical scan tabulators and the limits on what they can and cannot read regarding voter intent. For example, we found ballots where they colored circles with red ink, and there was some question whether when it feeds through the machine, whether whether red ink can be picked up by the optical scanner. We have ballots that registered blank, 7 of them in the county, but to believe that that was a legitimate read, you would have to assume somebody went to vote, took a ballot out, voted for no one in any race whatsoever, and then runs it through the machine as their vote. And that's rather hard to believe, and we were able to lay eyes on one ballot that was a blank ballot by what the machine would say, but it had on the right-hand column, not where the oval is, they had marked all their choices on the entire ballot with an X. And under the code, that would be a legal vote, but under optical scan, it would not read as a vote. It would record as an undervote as to any particular race. And that one ballot, Hickory Point 7, that we observed that, was a vote for Root. You know, the minutia with which we study this is never done because most races are not decided by one vote. But as you crawl through all of this, and again, only 5 precincts have actually been manually with your eyes examined, and that's only as to the election day vote, not as to the absentee mail-in and provisionals.
All right, so what happens next? And when will you officially, or have you already officially asked the new clerk, is he being sworn in today? I mean, when does he start?
They start, as of today, is when the new county officers hold. The demand that they reconcile, which really we don't have to do that, that's their statutory duty anyway, was first expressed yesterday to Steve Bean, and he still held office until midnight last night. We weren't going to first communicate this to Josh, to Steve, and Steve and the state's attorney's office. We told them what our concern was. I don't think there's reported case law in this particular ICE situation. I think the plain language of the statute says that the clerk needs to correct things, but then you ask yourself, is the clerk's correction self-enforcing in terms of the election result? That's an unknown. I mean, we have our view, and if the roles were reversed, I could see another argument. So that's problem one. Problem two is these tabulators simply do not decide an election with precision sufficient to support the integrity of a one-vote race. They just don't do it. They're not that exacting. And ironically, we found that we were able to hand review the 5 precincts that we, it's called a redundant recount, faster than what the optical machines will do it. And you can discern the voter intent. And I really don't think there was any issue in those 5 precincts in discerning voter intent. It's not that tough of a thing. We're not like the people in Florida. We had opposing counsel there, or counsel from Springfield, in terms of issues as to what a voter was thinking or how the vote should be recorded, at least as to those 5 precincts. It would have been a really smooth day. But they sought to stop the redundant recount, which is the manual recount. The State Board of Elections said, you may be able to have it, but we're going to charge you more. But first, before anybody does anything, we got to run everything through the tabulators again. And we have left open, or requested to leave open, the continuation of the manual for discovery purposes. So here's where it brings us. We've requested the clerk to make that change. Whether they will or not, that's the performance of their duties. It would be an additional factor in a judicial challenge if that manifests. A judicial contest must be commenced by December 20. The fastest that there can be a hearing, an evidentiary hearing on a judicial challenge on an election contest is 10 days after service of that, or it can proceed like a normal civil case and be drawn out for a long period of time, just depending on the scope of issues.
All right. So I realize that you're arguing one side of this, and there are two sides. Do you think that this has the chance of being resolved anytime soon?
I think there's in the month of December, I wouldn't be optimistic. I know Mr. Root has offered that if the parties would engage a stipulated order to the court and to commence a full hand recount of the county so that we could determine who in fact is the winner without having to place your confidence in machines that we know have taken the same set of ballots and created different results reading the same set of ballots based on what happened Friday, that you'd have a more accurate read and a determination of who had the most votes. I mean, because there are precincts out there where, and in fact, Mr. Brown picked up from undervotes to a vote on his side in the manual recount in a couple precincts. And, you know, it'll go back and forth like that, I suspect, staying very close to this slight advantage to tie back and forth in a manual recount for the county.
All right, so both of these guys have handled this with a lot of grace and dignity. I mean, they really have. And I think that all the respect in the world should be shown for that. What would be the, I mean, if they both agreed to this and then agreed to the results of that, would that maybe not be a better way to do this than going through all of the courts and the legal cost and all of the, I mean, if they just said, hey, let's hand count everything and let the winner be the winner?
I would agree, and that's, you know, if you're from Mr. Brown's perspective, you're sitting there saying, hey, at this moment, I've been sworn in, I hold the certification, I'll never give it up. But by the same token, this is your sheriff. I think that having confidence that the right guy is in the position, I mean, both of them will do a great job, but that the person who earned it on election day is in the position that they should be, given that the taint now is inescapable, and if Mr. Brown is to be sheriff, he may pick up his votes in other precincts as we go man head-to-head, or not. And it may be that Jim wins, but it will be unmistakably legitimate, and these two men will certainly support and defend the legitimacy of the guy that ultimately wins. I have no doubt about that.
All right, Jerry, listen, we appreciate you calling in and keeping us informed, and we will reach out to the Brown camp as well. Jerry, have a great day. Thank you. Jerry Stocks, who was presiding over this. That make sense to you? I know this is –